Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to Millennial Money. Today, we're going to talk about Shiba Inu along with other things like Tesla and Jeremy says Hungry Bull and this weirdo we've got over there in the bottom corner with this glass obsidian mask. And I'm sure there'll be other things we'll talk about as well. But most importantly, we'll also have to talk about Motley Fool and go through who's winning the contest so far and all the goodies related to our partnership with Motley Fool.
Yeah,
so
Kevin, let's get started, folks. Update the description, Kevin. You didn't do that yet. So I just texted you to update the description so they could see who the winner is. Which
that's right.
We're gonna announce that very shortly, because I got the results, and honestly, I was quite surprised at one of the returns. So let me know when that's updated, and Kevin. You should probably do the talking here.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. Hold on. I haven't even looked at it yet. I pasted it. Okay, I saved it. I think I did it. So now, if you have to refresh the live stream if you're watching it live or if you're watching it after it being live, it's in the description now. What's up? Should I click it?
Ooh.
Oh.
No,
oh,
wow. Let's let people click it.
Yeah, Kevin, you got to let people click it. I agree with that.
Is this going to update live? I'm curious if this is going to fluctuate. If it's like every morning, it just like changes, or like every day after, or if it's just a one-time thing. Kevin, yeah. What did you put in there? Can you,
well, you have
say,
to go to metkevin.com/fool to find out.
All right.
That's fair.
Kevin, you're such a good swing trader. That's all I'll say. You're one of the best swing traders I've ever seen in my life. I just want to say that. Your return was ridiculous, and I'm embarrassed by my return. Although, let's remember, that was a short-term challenge and not a long-term investment challenge. Okay, let's see these stocks in 3 years. Okay, let's see that. That's all.
You know what I think it is, actually, Kevin? I want to see your returns. Because, I mean, it's no surprise. Tesla is a component of it. Let's get that out in the open here, okay? Tesla's a component of it. Tesla's up a ton. If Tesla were not in your portfolio leading the way, how much would it be up? I guess we would have to calculate that. But
yeah, I would have to try that. Now, they equally balance it, Fool, right? I'm pretty sure they do. They assume if it's 5 stocks, it's 20%
correct.
Each.
Yes.
So did none of you put Tesla in as one of them?
No.
Nope.
Well, that was your first mistake.
But here's the thing. You know what? But I didn't want to pick the same stocks as all of you guys. I wanted to pick stocks that were unique to me. And I didn't want to just be like, oh, well, Kevin's doing Tesla. I'm going to do Tesla too. I wanted mine to be unique, you know, different. Thinking outside the box.
Well, you got different.
All right.
So anyway, go all to... Right. Fool.com/MM challenge to see who won. I can't even get it. I'm trying to get it to load. For me, I don't know what it is with my internet today, but I've got two internets. One of them's working, the other one's not, and it's just driving me nuts. So anyway, You guys talk about something.
We should get a crypto sponsor that does the same thing, but like a crypto contest to see if it could be. That would be fun. That would be fun.
Oh,
God. Hey, I'm the front man for the billionaires, by the way. If you guys are wondering what this is my Halloween costume, and I might make a video on Friday about representing billionaire interests. It's going to be fun.
Well, how about this? Speaking of a crypto challenge, I am up, I'm up almost double, almost 100% on my Shiba investment as of like 2 weeks ago. So for every like my previous video got on Shiba Inu, I think it was called The Truth of 1 Cent Shiba Inu. I said, for everyone that likes that video within the first week, I'm going to invest 5 cents into Shiba Inu. And every single time I've done this in the past, I've lost money. I did this with AMC. And all of this is for, you know, just in good fun. So I'm not like seriously trying to turn this into a crazy investment. But AMC is down like 30, 35%. Dogecoin, when I did this, it was towards the peak of Dogecoin. It's all in good fun. And I just said, I'm just going to buy it and hold it. Dogecoin, I'm down probably another 35%. Shiba, I was expecting, like, hey, every time I do this, I'm down 35%. I'm just prepared to lose money here. I've never lost money with Shiba. It's insane. So I invest like $7,500 for like 100-something thousand likes. And now it's worth like 15 grand.
Wow. Isn't that partially because it's just such a small cap crypto and it's just so easy to move it and people are just, it's just so easy to pump it at this point.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I wouldn't. As far as pumping, no, because I was curious. I really wanted to make sure that, first of all, my video was definitely not a pump. It was very not. If anything, my video is more cautionary about like, hey, you could lose a lot of money here. When you watch the chart, it didn't go up really until like a few days after. But it seems like some big money is behind Shiba right now, investing a lot of money, and that's what's pushing up the price.
So you're saying you didn't pump, but are you saying you're going to dump?
No.
No.
I would be lying if I said that I was not tempted to sell. Because for anything to almost double in price in like 2 weeks, I think any rational investor would look at this objectively and say, is that sustainable? Could this keep going? But I'm not going to. The purpose of buying in 5 cents for every like was to hold it long term. And I got to say, I bought in Dogecoin for fun on the podcast, $1,000, and it was a third of a cent. And at the peak, that $1,000 would have been worth $150,000. And I thought it was, listen, I thought it was silly right afterwards. I was like, why am I putting $1,000 in this? And I sold it. I didn't need the money. It was just, I don't know why. So I look back at the Dogecoin investment thinking, I was very stupid to sell that, and I don't want to make the same mistake with Shiba. Unless I need the money, there's no point for me to sell it.
So I guess everyone is just super excited about it going to a penny. Is that kind of like the thing that it's like Shiba Inu to a penny, right? I'm just trying to do some quick math right now.
It's a lot, yeah.
Call me crazy. Hold on, I just did the math. So $1 divided by the current price of each, which is 0.00004839, right? That is 20,785x from now, which is a $20 billion market cap. So if you multiply...
They're not 20, billion.
Wait, what?
Trillion, hold on, right?
No,
it's... Because right now it's... what's the market cap of Shiba?
No, it's billion. It's not trillion. No, it's billion. 19 billion.
Yeah, the market cap now. Are we talking about for it to get to a penny, though?
Yeah, so you got to multiply the 20,000 times, right. I guess, yeah. 20 billion times. Times 5 times 10? 50 times what? What is that? Okay, so...
Point zero a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. Market cap 20 billion times 5.
Well, I mean, look at this way. The market cap of Shiba Inu right now is $18 billion.
19.
For it to move 19. 1, 2, 3, 4 decimal places at least 3 or 4 decimal places, even 3 decimal places would make that 180, 1.8, and $18 trillion.
Yeah, that's kind of a lot.
Well, listen, it doesn't mean it can't reach 1/10 of 1/10 of a cent. You know?
Hey, we start to get realistic about the price, are we going to get like a ton of haters saying like, oh, you guys are just not believers? Or is this?
Here's the thing. I would say a little bit of a yes, but I also never would have expected Dogecoin to be at 26 cents and holding there ever. When Dogecoin was trading for a third of a cent, I remember looking at the chart when I bought in, thinking, this is crazy. It's already up 1,000-2,000% from a year ago. And I'm buying at like the peak here at a third of a cent, thinking anything else was crazy. I think it just goes to, you can't predict it. And even though I would agree, I mean, multi-trillion dollars is a lot. It's almost like you can't predict that. And so what if you aim for the stars, but you hit the moon instead, it's still good when you think of it from that perspective.
Would you guys ever consider just YOLOing, I don't know, $10,000, $20,000 into just like random small market cap cryptos like that?
We've talked about that before. Yeah, like just put $100 in like all like those small ones, right? I honestly think, I mean, it depends on the whole market, right? But if you would have done that, let's say last year, there's no way you wouldn't be up a massive amount, right? Like get a crazy ROI on that if you just put $100, let's say in the number 100th most popular crypto at this time last year, the number 200. You're guaranteed to make a huge profit pretty much.
Yeah. What would you guys pick as your parameters for picking some of the good ones?
So you know what?
This is
actually perfect. I did a video analyzing this. There's this, this newsletter. It's called Market Sentiment. And it's this guy who just spends his time analyzing just the most obscure things. And he analyzed cryptocurrency since 2013 and which ones did the best and which ones didn't. He determined that the vast majority of coins underperform or lose money. It was like 60%. So if you buy into any random, you have a 60% chance of losing money right off the bat. The winners, it was only, I think it was only like 2 or 3% of the winners ended up accounting for the majority of the gain in terms of the cryptocurrency market. And of those winners, almost all of it was isolated to Bitcoin, Ethereum. And so their statistic was basically, if you're going to do something like that, it's best to invest in the top 10 coins equally on a regular basis. But if you're not going to do the top 10, then it's so far, it's just been Bitcoin, Ethereum since 2016 or since 2013.
Yeah. Wow. Sounds right.
So yeah, so just investing a whole bunch of money in random altcoins, most likely more than half are not going to do well. Or they're going to, or what was it? It had gained less than like 2% in value since inception. I mean, it really wasn't much.
Mm. I've actually changed my allocation buying strategy. So right now I'm buying $1,000 a day of VTI and $1,000 a day of Ethereum on just auto buy on Voyager. That's all I'm doing right now. So about 60K a month between stocks and just crypto, mostly Ethereum.
Wait, but why are you using Voyager? You're paying fees like crazy. Are you trying to bail Jeremy out?
Kevin, why don't you mind your business, okay? First off. Second off, Andre, you're the man. Go ahead, Andre.
I actually really like Voyager. So I just connected my account and it lets me just dollar cost average. And I love that. Because I tried doing that on Coinbase Pro and I forget to log on every day and I forget to throw in that money and I just miss out. And so, you know what? That's fine. That's a tiny price to pay. I don't think the fees are outrageously high or ridiculous.
But you could do it on Robinhood and the fees would be even better than they would be on Coinbase.
I don't want my coins stuck in Robinhood, first of all. And second of all, Robinhood gives me nothing in interest rate, whereas Voyager's give me substantial amounts. It's like, I think 5%. So okay. I don't know. Robinhood is just not there yet. I wish it was.
How long have they been promising us crypto wallets? Forever. Like, let's go.
forever now. I don't know. What about you guys? Are you guys buying anything?
Hey, what happened with Robinhood earnings real quick before we change the subject there, Kevin?
Yeah,
disaster.
Bad.
But we all saw that coming. I don't think it should have been a surprise.
I'm neutral on Robinhood. And I invested money in Robinhood because I think just on a broad scale, like a lot of people don't care about payment for order flow. They're not on YouTube. They're not on Reddit. They're everyday investors. They want a simple platform to use. And Robinhood is right now almost like the go-to. Just download Robinhood, guys. It's like everyone uses it. So I was expecting, yes, there's no way we're going to have the same volume and momentum as we did back January, February, March. Dogecoin just came out of nowhere. That made up a significant portion of the revenue. We knew that wasn't sustainable. We knew that was going to normalize and come down. But I didn't expect it to be as bad as it is and for the reaction to be as instantaneous as it is. So I don't know. Long term, I think there's so many verticals that they could still expand into, even though it's easy to say, oh, you just hate Robinhood. I mean, listen, I'm neutral about it. I don't care either way. But I didn't expect it to be as bad as it was. Kevin, what do you think? Because you have more money than I do in Robinhood.
Yeah, I do. It's not good. Their user growth. What really happened? Here's what happened. Okay, Robinhood is a company that pumped up their user base in January with affiliate marketing. They got every influencer under the sun on YouTube, on TikTok, on Instagram to pitch Robinhood, conveniently right before the IPO. Then they do their IPO. No more affiliate program. Affiliate program gone. Mm-hmm. So look, there's always going to be attrition of users. Apps are always going to have users find a new app and then people brokerage transfer out of the app. That's always going to happen. Problem is, you're taking Robinhood from this, what's almost like a pumped up inflated level, and now you're kind of shrinking to normal. It's kind of like a balloon that was full, then they overinflated it to make it look more attractive for the IPO, and now it's kind of shrinking back to normal a little bit. That's my expectation. I don't know that this would sort of be a long-term disastrous catalyst. It makes me wonder, is this sort of like rock bottom potentially?
Kevin, can you remind us how much money you have in this stock, the Hood?
Well, now where it is now, I don't know, 800, 900K.
Okay, so my question to you is, you know, unless this is just a super long term play, you know, like we see firsthand, the people that are into the stock market right now are very core people. The views are gone. It's very clear.
Oh, yeah.
The views in the stock market community are gone. So you know, there's not going to be new people sign up. So why not get out of the Hood? Say I'm dipping out of this stock and go put that money in Tesla, like you love, or just any other stock for that matter.
Yeah, you know, I might do that. I might just sell calls, you know, especially if we get like a volatility bump, just sell calls against the position or like half of it. And if I get called out, then F it, you know, and take my money somewhere else.
Because it sounds like we have two issues, right? We have the short term issues, which is just like a lack of interest in the stock market. But we have a second issue, which sounds like you have a distrust of the management team, which is something I always look at. And that's usually a bad thing if you got distrust of the management team, because you're looking at it as like they kind of finessed everybody. They pumped up the numbers right before IPO, and now they pulled the carpet there. And it's just, you know, you kind of feel a little shafted. It sounds like, at least a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Kevin, would you see this as a buying opportunity, though? Or do you think that realistically, you're going to see more of the same throughout the rest of the year?
I think that when they come out with the crypto wallet and they then start getting competitive again with fees, people are going to, I think Robinhood, and maybe they do another affiliate drive. I think they can bail themselves out of this. The GameStop thing will be then almost a year old. They do crypto wallets and then a massive marketing campaign to get crypto people over. I think they will do very, very well if they do that. I think they'll do very, very well very quickly, because Coinbase Pro is complicated. Voyager is a ripoff. BlockFi charges a lot of fees as well. you know, I mean, like if you wanted to get ripped off more, you could always invest in Tattooed Chef. But beyond that, look, Robinhood, they have the best crypto pricing, hands down. Nobody wants to buy on Robinhood because, like you guys say, your crypto's locked up over there. I get that. You can't buy stuff with it. You can't stake it. Totally get it. And they need to get with it. If they can innovate and get these things, it's not even innovating anymore at this point. It's catching up. If they can catch up in the next 6 months, great. If they're going to drag this out for the next 2 or 3 years, They're just going to flounder.
Here's what I'm thinking, Kevin, because when they do wallets, initially I was thinking this is really good for Robinhood. People would feel comfortable to purchase crypto on the platform. They can move it out. But then I'm also thinking, wait a second. Let's say that someone's using Robinhood to buy their crypto, and all of a sudden they got a wallet. Couldn't that also mean that all of a sudden they can move their money off the platform? And now that they're off the platform, maybe they don't use it as much because everyone that bought Dogecoin on the platform,
I think the inflow would far exceed the outflow. I think the amount of customers they would gain as a result of having wallet access would be far, far more than the people that would leave them.
Yeah, I think the only way Robinhood could really do this is by integrating cryptocurrency more, because I think the profit margins on crypto so much higher. If they're able to get on some of these cryptocurrencies on hype, like let's say Shiba, if they were to release Shiba in the next like few days or by the end of the week, guaranteed everyone would be first of all, happy that Shiba's on there, but that could also be reflected in their stock price. And if they take the Coinbase approach of then getting into NFTs, and there's so many different ways that they could go into that.
Yes.
I think they have a good chance, but yeah, you're right, Kevin. It's like, it's just on execution, whether or not they're kind of stuck and slow to make any changes, which now that they're publicly traded, I'm sure there's so many other complications in adding these things than before. Yeah, maybe that's going to come back. I don't know.
Yeah, Andre, I have a question for you. I want you to explain to our swing trader why exactly it is a huge advantage for somebody like yourself that has a lot of money in crypto to be with Voyager versus be with Robinhood. Because I just don't think they quite get it. In this whole ripped off thing, wouldn't you get more ripped off by being with Robinhood? Don't you make a lot more money by being with Voyager? Yeah. Swing trader Kevin, when's your course coming out? I want to learn how to swing trade like you, 24% in a month. Holy smokes.
Well, I think Kevin's a different animal, right? I don't think the way that Kevin buys is how most people would buy their crypto. I mean, maybe for Kevin, if the fee is, you know, like an extra quarter of a percent, he's paying a ton of money. Because like, he has literally $1 million positions in stocks and crypto. I don't have that. So for me, the fees aren't that, they don't hurt me as much. And I think for the average person, I don't think it's a massive deal. But I think in Kevin's case, he could be losing tens of thousands of dollars. So for him, it makes sense that he chases the absolute cheapest platform.
No, I have to say, it's got really good reviews on the App Store. I'm impressed. Like, it apparently has grown very well, because I don't think it used to have this many great reviews.
Yeah, and it's got great staking products. It's the only thing I'll say against Voyager, and I talked to their CEO about this. I actually got to meet him here in Vegas. He'll admit this. He'll be the first person to tell you that. I asked him, I was like, what is your biggest weakness that you would like to work on? And he says customer service. And it's legit. It is. Believe it or not, I emailed their team and I asked them, hey guys, I'd love to work with you, like to any capacity. Would you guys have me? Let's do some kind of maybe partnership or something. And they never got back to me. And I was like, okay. So I tweeted the CEO and he got back to me before their team did. Which goes to show you, like, if their team didn't notice me and like the opportunity that maybe we could have had together, and their CEO did, that just goes to show you, for the average person, I don't think they're going to prioritize them very much. So I can't in good conscience recommend it until people have good support. And I just don't think they're there yet.
I hope Steve sees this video, because I would tell him, like, what are you doing, Steve? Like, they have this phenomenal thing. It's number 28 on the App Store in the finance community or whatever. They're spending money on NASCAR cars. You need to be doing partnerships with people like Andre and other big influencers. Like, Steve, wake up, get your team woken up there, push users, and don't
NASCAR fans. If Steve watches this video and if he gets back to us, I want to invite him to the my podcast, to Sweat Talk, and see if he wants to do that. That would be awesome.
What's
and
Sweat Talk?
It's my new podcast. I haven't launched it yet, but it's in my sauna. It's basically where I invite people to go in the sauna for like 20 minutes with me and podcast.
Naked? Kinda like,
yes, nude, 100%. It's no.
I thought that was just us, man. Come on.
Yeah. No, it won't be.
You're wondering why I haven't posted the house tour yet. I don't want to get demonetized.
Oh, where is that? Hey, where is that house tour? Are you still posting that?
I'll post it. Yeah, I should have posted it on Sunday. I'll post it this weekend. I really like it. It's just the filming wasn't good. So like the content's great, but like the audio and video was. So I'm just like, I'm a little embarrassed by that, but I'm just going to do it because the content's great.
Yeah, I think it was a good video. But anyway, where were we?
Yeah, we were just talking
about decide how many ads to put in that video.
Yeah, exactly.
No, Voyager.
You're yeah. missing out on Voyager. I'm telling you right now, you are missing out.
Well, yeah, but Andre, what you got to understand is when you make 24% a month, you know, from stocks, like Mr. Kevin, wow. you know, it's like you don't really need to even worry about little money.
That's not fair. That was, I think, 100% pretty much because of Tesla. That was.
If
Tesla
you know what? I actually, Andre, I have to say, there were now that I remembered, there were a few stocks in there that just were just skyrocketing. Really? Yeah, if you download if you go to what is it fool.com/meetkevin
or metkevin.com/fool.
metkevin.com/fool. There were three stocks that I could think of off the top of my head that performed similar to Tesla in the last 2 weeks.
Hmm.
And these were stocks that that Kevin had mentioned in the past.
Oh, I gotta sign up to
Tesla. I felt the same way. I was like, it's just Tesla. Yeah. But there were two others that I could think of.
I swear, I really just wanted to give them like just a bunch of random small cap stocks just to see how they would do. And just
you know what? If we could do this challenge again, which I think we should, we should do a challenge again, and then we got a rematch, all or nothing.
Yeah. Except we can't invest like our grandpa style. We got to like just go hard on it. You can't pick ETFs. You can't pick.
Why can't we at least do a 1 year challenge? You know, I understand 3 years is a little bit, but come on, just a year. A month is so like fluctuating. Yeah. Unless you're a professional swing trader, like some people. Outside of that scenario, you know, it's tough to make a return.
Because now, in fairness to Jeremy, a lot of this does depend on whether or not you sell and whether or not you actually take profits at these levels that Kevin's portfolio has generated.
Right.
So, because I actually remember when this is one of my biggest regrets too, but when Tesla went, it hit almost $1,000 a share in early 2020, I think it was. I sold off half. And for the following 3 months, everybody was like, Graham, you were right. You hit the peak of the market. You were so smart. How did you know? And then everyone was going to Kevin's videos. Kevin, you were so stupid for not selling. You should have watched Graham's. Graham sold. And then Kevin was like, oh, you know what? Kevin bought more. Believe it or not, it's like 900. He was buying more. And I was selling at 900. Everyone's like, Kevin bought the shares that Graham just sold for a profit. Kevin's an idiot. And I remember, this lasted for 3 months. And guess what? I sold half. I was right. But when it dipped, I never bought back in. And then by the time I ended up buying back in, it was higher than where I had sold. I would have been better off taking Kevin's approach, not doing anything.
Yeah, Kevin, when did you first start buying Tesla, Kevin?
Jeremy, don't interrupt Kevin. He's editing a video right now.
he's researching his next swing trade.
Yeah. Honestly, I was trying to go on the Fool to see what the stocks were, and it was taking me a while because I got like three things here, and loading things has been a little challenging. But I just looked at them up. I looked at them, and you're right. Yeah, they're well, and if you include today, there's one that did not do so well, fell maybe 10% over the time frame. The others have, including today, if you include today, all of the other four have exploded.
That's what she said.
But whatever.
Yes.
What were we talking about? Yeah, because I was trying to look that up and I just got it.
I asked, when did you first buy Tesla? What year
was it? You know, when I really first started getting into Tesla was around the same time that I made when I got my HSA, my health savings account. I'll pull that up and then I could tell you. I probably have some trades before that, but I'll find out and I'll get back to you.
You think it was like 2017, 2018?
Not that early. Maybe 18. Because I bought my car at the end of 17. So I would say like early 18, but I have to figure it out and I'm going to try to do that.
Yeah. So the point I'm trying to make is, you know, both of us got in 18, 19. I had to wait at least a year before Tesla even started to go up at all. And I think that's just a good lesson for folks out there is a lot of times with, you know, stocks, you have to wait a while. It's not like you invest in it unless you got Kevin's four magical stocks he picked here. It's usually not like that, right? You have to wait a while. And so I think
it's important. Always like that.
Yeah, it's always like that. Dang it. No, and Andre, I think you're a good example of that too. I don't know how long you've been holding Bitcoin, but Bitcoin went through a 3-year bear cycle pretty much. And now look at it. It's like, you know, you had if you would have been talking about Bitcoin from 2018 to 2020, pretty much, or at least the beginning part of 2020, you looked like a lot of people would be saying you're an idiot, right? Unless they were core Bitcoin fans. And yeah, I mean, look at the price and look at the price now. It's like,
you know what's funny? The longer I invest and the longer I spot those kind of opportunities, it's crazy how evident it becomes, like how obvious it becomes that certain investments you make through certain cycles, you're like, of course, this is going to triple from here. Like with Bitcoin, I mean, if you were around since 2014 or even 2017 and you would have seen the cycle, like that's what made people learn about what Bitcoin was. And if you had learned about it then, you would have kept it because you knew exactly that it was going to happen again. And I don't know. I just feel like it's like that with Tesla. I know it's been through crazy cycles too. And you've been holding it since forever, Jeremy. So, I mean, you kind of saw it from a long time ago.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people that were in Tesla a long time before I was that I've met over time, you know, that got in like 2014, 2015. And some of those people had to wait 3, 4, 5 years to get gains because from 2014-ish to about 2019, the stock did nothing. Absolutely nothing. The company made tremendous progress, but it did nothing, right? And so, man, you're holding for a long time just to get a lot of hate. And then, but obviously, look how it turned out. So I think at the end of the day, a lot of it's just looking at, are they making underlying progress there with their company? Let's say if it's a stock, right? And if the stock's doing nothing, but the company's just going like this, eventually the stock price is going to go there. It's just a matter of time, right? So, right.
Yeah. It was January of 2019 is at least when I did my HSA. And I, what was it? I put in our HSA and my retirement account that year, I put everything in Tesla. And then for Lauren, I put everything in Apple. And it was like $6,900 three times. Once for the HSA and I don't know, maybe it was like $5,000 for the retirement accounts, but whatever. The Tesla one, I thought I've shown you guys this before. No?
Kevin, you've definitely shown it before.
How did you make an HSA? It. I've been looking at making one. How are you doing?
You have to have a high deductible health plan.
I know. So, where did you get one?
Well, you go to metkevin.com/lively, of course.
Andre, you can make an HSA at almost any brokerage. It's really
Lively
easy.
Is Kevin. Cool. They set up, they do all the complicated crap for you. And then they just give you a TD Ameritrade login. Like this was a fluky thing, but I bought this. So January 9th of 2019, I picked up Tesla and these shares of Zillow. So 115 shares of Tesla and 3 shares of Zillow. And I never touched the account since then. So it's just been, you know, almost 3 years now. And it's turned into like 170K, which is insane. And we can pull that out, you know, like tax-free for medical expenses or fertility or whatever.
That's great. Yeah,
and I remember you were for sure in 2018, I remember, Kevin, because I remember you, Graham and I, we went for sushi at Hiroba Sushi, and you guys gave me crap because I was still using a debit card at that time. You're like, what are you doing? You need to use a credit card. And I remember walking into the restaurant and you go, man, what's going on with Tesla? Because Tesla was going through a tough time at that time. You're like, what's going on with Tesla? And, you know, I was like, hey, don't worry about it, blah, blah, blah. And so you definitely must have owned Tesla at that time because you were a concerned shareholder. Let's call it that.
I would say I was a frustrated car owner because the car was garbage when I got it. It's, you know, I used to have to turn my car. I used to have to call customer service and they would tell me, not like hard reset stuff. They would literally tell me, okay, get out of the car, walk 5 minutes away from the car. Once you've walked 5 minutes away and your key is a far enough distance away, turn around and walk back and then the car should start. And it was like, I had to do that like 5 or 6 times. And I'm like, I bought a lemon. I mean, I got so many errors. And there are videos on YouTube about some of the errors. I would get errors every freaking day. It was a complete lemon the first 3 to 6 months that I owned it. It was pretty bad.
Wow.
But I actually, you know, the faith got better as they started doing the software updates and things started getting fixed. I'm like, oh, wow. The car was... It was honestly a blessing in disguise because I saw the car go from lemon to amazing through software updates. And I'm like, oh, damn. You know?
Wait, speaking of lemons, tell me about Sheeb. No, I'm just kidding. Tell me about exactly how it works. What do you guys know about it? What makes it so special? Because I actually had this conversation with Pro the Dogecoin Millionaire, and he really dislikes Shiba Inu. I mean, I'm impartial. I don't have an opinion on it.
Of course,
he
dislikes it because it's taking momentum away from Dogecoin.
From Dogecoin, yes. Absolutely.
That's
and it was designed to be a Dogecoin killer on their website. So that's one of his frustrations.
Yeah. So as we all know, Dogecoin was started as a joke. It started off as a joke through a meme, and it just eventually evolved, and it became the Dogecoin we all love today. Shiba Inu, on the other hand, came up, I believe it was mid-2020, and it was kind of riding off the coattails of the Dogecoin challenge on TikTok. So Dogecoin was pumped basically on TikTok, saw some traction. Shiba Inu came off as a joke of a joke. And Shiba Inu was basically just, we're going to overtake Dogecoin, and you're going to be able to make more money with our coin at a lower price than Dogecoin. That's it. That's the entire premise. And so I think at this point, a lot of people were like, ah, crap, I missed out on Dogecoin, but I have a chance with Shiba Inu. That's really what's driving it at this point.
I don't know. I think it's got a little bit more. I mean, think about, like, they're Ethereum-based, right? So you can do smart contracts, and it just opens up the world, right? Like, they did that. I got pissed off with the whole, like, Satoshi NFT drop. But I think there's some cool things about this whole NFT world. And see, I admit that I'm a crypto novice, but every single day I'm reading and learning about crypto. And it is this never-ending deep dive is what it feels like. But Sheep can do a whole lot more than Doge can, even though you're right. Like, it started off as that joke off of Doge, right?
Yeah, that's very true. But I think at this point right now, it's pumping – for the sake of pumping. People are buying in because they have a bit of FOMO that it keeps going up. There's rumors about potentially being listed on Robinhood. A lot of upsides for people to buy in and quickly double their money if they time it right. But it's also you could just as easily see it drop 90%.
My biggest criticism of it isn't anything that it does or doesn't do. It's just that I think right now people are buying into that hopium. And when we get the next bear cycle, people are going to get wrecked so hard in these altcoins, and they're going to exit. They're going to leave, because all of these conversations that we're having is like an echo of 2017. People are talking about, like, yeah, but this new coin, it's based on different algorithms. You know, this is not blockchain. This is trilineal math. And it's just like all these crazy words and techno babble.
The difference between now and back then, I think back then people were all about the tech. They were all about this new project is going to change everything. Now I feel like it's just about momentum. This thing has the momentum right now. It's going up. It's less about the project and more about just where is the momentum going? Where's the attention going?
Marketing yourself.
Andre on this one, like, wholeheartedly, because I did a video, for example, on Solana, and I was comparing the tech to Ethereum, and the comments are so passionate about, you think that's good. Look how fast we can do transactions on this network. Or, look how fast, like, look at the decentralization of this versus yours. Like, how many of your decentralized validators are actually owned by the same person? You know, and it's like, here's the thing, though. I could see where you could also be right. And I think you actually are also right, Graham, in that, to some degree, I don't know that the reason matters as much as the momentum. See, it's kind of like GameStop. The SEC, believe them or not, as far as you could throw them, probably can't believe them. But anyway, they make this argument that it wasn't the short interest of GameStop that made it run. It was that people wanted to hold GameStop. If their reason for holding it was a short interest, fine, they're still a holder. Oh, they're a hodler, right? Same thing with maybe these other coins. If your reason for being a diamond hander is you think the technology is better or the blockchain's better or this, that, or whatever, it has better NFTs, who cares? Fine, you're still a hodler. You're taking market supply away, which drives price up. And so to some degree, say whatever you want about why you're holding it. As long as you're holding, you're supporting. Andre, I want to ask you, I did not participate at all in this 2017 thing. I am very curious to hear why you think this is starting to echo 2017. I would love for you to go deep on that because that's fascinating.
I mean, there is really not that much depth to it. It's just that it becomes a race to the bottom. It's like, here's this new thing.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Keeper, right? We made a trillion of these and the price is 0.0001. Don't you want to be an early adopter who has millions of these? And so, of course, people buy in, and let's say it's got a fancy, cute name, or it's got a dog or a cat or whatever it is. And people buy into this momentum, like you said, but they hold on to it thinking that there is some bigger picture to it when it's not. It's just a brief, kind of like a flash in the pan, and it's gone. And that's what happened in 2017. It's just like, it was like a race to the bottom. Like, who could, you know, mine is faster, more transactions, more decentralized. And it just,
same
and
thing.
It exploded. Yeah, same thing. And it's happening again. And when things go south, the sucky part is that people are going to be holding on to their Dogecoins and their Shiba Inus. Meanwhile, they're going to lose like 99% of their value. Bitcoin and Ethereum are going to drop 80%, but they'll recover. And there's no telling that the ones from this cycle are going to recover in the future, because the ones from the previous cycles, like the NEO, you could say the XRP, you could see the IOTAs, they did not recover. They did not pump in that cycle. So the narrative was lost. And so people, it just sucks to see people invest long term into these momentum trades, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that, like, that's my
DWAC.
Biggest... What is that?
The Trump's back.
Oh, geez.
PWAC.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. But, you know, if anything, it just kind of takes away from the narrative of what Bitcoin and Ethereum is trying to achieve. And so it's just a shame. But people are going to lose a lot of money. And I think for now it's fine to participate in these. Just I don't think that people think long term. They just get lost in the nuance of the technology and the brand and the marketing, and they're gonna lose a lot of money. So that's my prediction. But
is it a fair comparison to say that maybe Ethereum could kind of be like the financial plumbing, where Bitcoin could be the financial gold or like the reserve?
Yeah, sure.
And then all the others you think are just noise to try to be a better. Mostly Ethereum is my understanding. I don't see anyone really trying to be a better Bitcoin, although there are folks trying to adopt features of Bitcoin, like the deflationary aspect, but beyond that.
Well, the thing about Ethereum is, and this is like the problem when you talk about tech, is that there is virtually nothing that Ethereum can't do either now or at some point in the future.
Really quick, we're getting a reverb from somebody. I'm not sure where it's coming from.
Well, we won't know. Andre,
Jeremy, it might be from you.
Andre, I just want to say, I love when you go deep. You're going really deep, Andre. Keep going.
That's what she said. All right. Okay. I don't know where I was.
You were just deep. Keep going.
All right. I think I was saying technology-wise, and it's I'm seeing all these guys like compete on tech, and crypto is a software at the end of the day. It's upgradable software. And so you're banking on like a bunch of random people you've never met, you don't know anything about, they have no track record to beat a technology that's been around for almost 10 years, like Ethereum. And you think you're really going to like outperform it, you're going to beat it, you're going to use something or going to create something that Ethereum can't implement in the future. I don't know. It's just one of those things where I think very few cryptos will exist in 5 to 10 years. It'll be Bitcoin, Ethereum, and maybe like two or three others. Everything else will just – it'll be a continuation of these promises and things, and people are still going to swing trade, but I think we're in for trouble in the next
– We have that in the stock market all the time, you know, like everybody wants
That degree. But it's so weird, man, because with stocks, people don't really get into the nuance. And I don't know what it is about crypto, but almost every single person that buys into crypto – they do some like pretty significant amount of research. Like they'll dive a little deeper and they'll sound like they know what they're talking about. And they'll be like, yeah, but like Kevin said, it's just like a never ending hole that you just dig yourself into. And then you emerge thinking like, wow, I know why this is the best now. And this has happened again and again with IOTA and so many other ones. They're like, and I'm not saying like I'm so smart, I know this. I was a victim of that myself in 2017. I bought into so many of these thinking that they're going to change the world, right? But they didn't. And chances are whatever people are investing and YOLOing their money into these swing trades probably won't either. And then the question becomes, do you think they're going to be around in the next cycle? Previously, from what we've learned from past history, no, they probably won't. There will be something else that'll be more relevant. Because what is the language of all of these cryptos? Memes, right? And memes constantly change. They constantly evolve. And so I'm just not so sure that meme is going to be relevant a couple years from now. There will be a new language of memes. And so that's my only real, I guess, struggle with all of this. But Kevin, I can't hear you.
Kevin, you're muted.
Hey,
there you go.
Tell me if the reverb comes back because I muted my mic just to test it. It could be because the connection's being weird by me. But anyway, as soon as the momentum's gone, it's almost impossible to get the same initial degree of momentum to ever come back. Like that GameStop momentum, in my opinion, is more likely to never come back the way it did then, ever.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. I have a hard time like diversifying beyond Bitcoin and Ethereum just because I've been through it once or twice before. And like, it's just the same game. It's the same conversations. I'm seeing it again and again.
I think that's a very interesting concept. I mean, honestly, you should make a video on it. If you don't, I want to make a video on it. But the danger is you'll end up getting called Mr. FUD.
Right. Of course. And that's what we talked about with Pro, right? Where I talked to him about a video I made about like SafeMoon, where I made a video basically just cautioning people, just be careful. Maybe, you know, I'm not saying don't invest in it, just understand that it might be something that's here today, gone tomorrow. Yeah. And people called me an idiot. They were like, you're just spreading FUD. I had like several people who just have built a YouTube channel around SafeMoon call me out, make a video about me. And the whole army of, I want to say like at least 10,000 people just destroy that video.
Did you delete it?
No, I still have it up.
When did you post that?
SafeMoon? A couple months back. And since
April 23rd, the truth about SafeMoon coin, you shouted it.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because after that video, about a month later, it did run. But since then, it's down since where you made your video. This is this is the roller coaster you would have embarked in. Andre, your video appears to have been what, April 23rd, so somewhere right around there. You know, kind of probably right after this run up over here, something like this. Right. So to get back to that level, you got to get back to, well, let me see if I get a little trading view here. You got to get back up a lot higher. Let me put it that way. This loads.
So anyway, the point I was trying to say is that people gave me a lot of credit for, you know, calling it out or just calling it just like, oh, good job. You knew all along that it was a scam or whatever it was. And I just thought to myself, I don't think I was right. It's just that when you invest into something with the expectation of just like from a money perspective, just from a price perspective, you're going to lose money. And so just people gave me a lot of credit that I don't think I deserve, because it just depends on what timeline we pick. If you would have said, Andre, you bought Bitcoin at 15,000, 20,000, you idiot. Look how much it dropped. It dropped to $3,000. So it's funny because you could pick and choose whatever timeline you want. But if you invest in something based on just the price alone, then you have no idea what you're buying. And I think most people are buying cryptos in that way, with this momentum in mind. And I don't know who's right or wrong. I don't know. But I don't know. What do you guys think? I just feel like it's very hard to be objective about really anything as far as crypto goes. Like, at what point do you call it wrong? Because you could be wrong at any point. Just depends on the timeline you pick.
Yeah, you're always going to have a segment of folks that are chasing returns. I think in any financial market, I think you're going to have a certain amount of people that do a certain amount of research, right? It could be, you know, they could want the project to succeed, a crypto. They could have, you know, AMC, GameStop, they wanted to, you know, those stocks to succeed, you know, stick it to Citadel and the shorts and whatnot, right? And so I think that's sometimes what it comes down to. And other times it's just people are looking to get that Dogecoin return, right? They're looking to get the next Shiba Inu, right? They're looking for that next crazy return that's going to change your life and take $500 and put it into a half mil, right? So I think that's just a certain amount of investors you get out there. And I don't think it ever goes away. You're right, Andre. It goes in cycles. But it never truly goes away, because you're always going to have, and a lot of times it's newer folks. I remember my first stock I ever bought, I think, was a biopharmaceutical stock that I had no clue about, but it was some hyped PDL biopharma or something. And it was like, you know, you're brand new getting into something. You're like, I got $200. What can I put it in that's going to give me to 400? So,
right. And I guess the point of the video is it's just stop thinking about it in terms of price, because if you do, you have to understand the difference between gambling and investing. And this is what Pro did. Like, he didn't invest. He gambled his money. He YOLO'd everything he had and he gambled it on something. And he gratuitously ended up being right. And it wasn't anything like research on his part. It was just a YOLO bet that he ended up being right on. And that's okay to do as long as you know that going into it. But I just feel like most of these cycles that were created in crypto is of people thinking they're doing this for the long term, but they're actually just, you know, gamblers, essentially just swing trading with the mentality of a long-term investor, but not really, because when the price falls, they're like, oh yeah, I guess it was a scam. I guess I was wrong. And then they sell and they lose all their money. And so it's like, don't be a gambler, just invest and know what you're buying. And that's why Bitcoin and Ethereum make the most sense to me. They've been around and they're going to continue to be around. So I don't know. Why would you risk your money into doing much else? It doesn't make sense to me, but I don't know. I know people
I think at the end of the day, what it comes back to, Andre, is especially when folks are new to the market and they might have a smaller amount of money, they're looking at it and they're like, okay, Bitcoin goes to 100K. Big deal. I make my $100 into what, 120, 130, whatever. And they're like, if I 100x this, oh my gosh, I'm going to make that into 10,000, right? And so that's the lure. And it'll continue to be the lure. But remember, a lot of folks that get started like that, a certain segment of those folks end up understanding the right way to do it, understand, hey, let me get my income right so I can start investing real money. And let me go ahead and you know, start investing the right way and focusing on the long term. But
I think there's nothing wrong with that. I if anything, that's great. That's wonderful. But as long as people understand that that's part of that journey, that's perfectly fine. And I just think that while they're doing it, they're so passionate about it that they will go out of their way to like try to destroy videos like mine or whoever else's that are trying to be a little bit more sensible about it. That's the problem. It's not that you're putting money into something like this. It's that you're so passionate about it, like blindingly, to the point where you think you're making a good decision, but what you're doing is gambling. It's okay to gamble, but just know that you're doing it.
Yeah, and you can't address it head on. I remember I used to get so mad, and I used to even make negative videos about day trading, right? Because there's the whole day trading movement. But at the end of the day, you can't say this is dumb because people just don't understand it at that time, right? And they're going to be for that. And at the end of the day, that's bringing in more people to the stock market, right? And so although at the end of the day, it's frustrating that some folks get into crypto and they might be looking at it a certain way, at the end of the day, it's increasing the TAM of people at least looking at that market, taking it serious. So, it's kind of like a double-edged sword. I don't know.
And I think all of you guys would agree with me in saying that there's a fine balance, and it's a very difficult balance to get between cautioning people and telling people, hey, please be careful, and standing in their way, because you also don't want to do that. You want people to make money. You want them to make money from their gambles. But you also want to be the friend that's like, hey, buddy, you're gambling, so maybe you should be careful. But what you end up doing instead is being the idiot that stands between the bear and his meal, so you get mauled. And you're like, well, I don't want to get mauled. So should I be sensible or should I not? And it's a very hard balance to get.
Yeah. Not to mention, too, if you tell someone not to buy something or to play it safe, and they hold off from buying it, and it ends up 10xing, they look at you and they're like, you know what? Right. Shouldn't have listened to you.
Right, exactly.
Oh, dude, I had that with the Trump SPAC. I'm like, it's not worth buying. It's not worth buying, or whatever, at even at like $80. And then the same day went up to like $130, and people in the comments like, glad I didn't listen to you, made so much money or whatever. One dude actually emailed me. I think it was an email or somewhere he sent me a message. And he's like, dude, I just want to say I heard about the Trump SPAC from your live stream. And then Monday, on your live stream, heard you say you just shorted it, because I think I actually shorted it live. He sold it. So from first mention, I didn't buy it then. I just, the only thing I ever did with it was short it. From first mention to then, he was actually up 500K. Like, he was one of the lucky ones. It was like life-changing money for them. So it's like, congratulations. But for every one of him, there are a lot of losers.
How much did you put in to make 500K? You must have put in like 200.
Yeah.
Well, I would say I shorted it at 100. He and I first mentioned it when it was at 12. So 8X, whatever that is.
Wow. So let's get this straight. You shorted Trump, huh, Kevin?
I shorted the Trump SPAC. Yes, I did.
I think we're going to need to get into this deeper. You don't usually short things. Do you have some
this
sort
is the
of
first
hidden
time
agenda
I've ever sold shares short, and I had to open up a different brokerage to make it happen.
Wow! So you went that out of your way, Kevin?
Yes,
wow.
Right.
And what party did you run for governor for again? I'm sorry.
Well, Kevin, first of all, I'm curious. What brokerage did you go through?
And Interactive Brokers, and I put $100,000. In, but they would only let me short $30,000 worth. So it's not like I was able to make a big play on it. But the margin requirements on shorting are very high.
What was the margin you had to put up for 100 to?
Well, I'm 93? Assuming the other 70, like 2x the position. Yeah,
makes sense. I mean, they don't want to get burned on that if something happens and it just skyrockets $300.
Yeah.
Damn. All right. Well, 30K is 30K. Have you closed that out yet or not yet? Just let
it. No, it's what is it? The thing's down like 30% today. Another one I wanted to short. I thought it was going to run more today, and then I was going to short it today, but it started going down right away. Was that Bakkt Holdings SPAC? Did you guys hear about that one?
Yep. BKKT.
Dude, I went through their investor presentation, and they're so misleading with their revenue numbers. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. But anyway, people got mad at me for that. This is like what Andre's talking about. Like, I had somebody yesterday who's like, Kevin, I get the feeling that you're passive aggressive about Bakkt, and I'm unsubscribing now because I'm investing in Bakkt. today it's down like 20%+, you know? It's like, whatever.
You can't win. You can't win because depending on the timeline, it fits that person's narrative, which is unfortunate. You can't
win. They're not going to come back. It's not like they're going to come back and go, I'm sorry, I was wrong. You know, it's like, no, they're gone.
Right. Which is why I tend not to make, and I get so many requests from people saying like, oh, can you talk about this crypto? I think it's a scam. Or can you talk about this one? You know, people are going to get screwed. And I'm just like, I wish I could, but I just don't want to get mauled. It's just not worth it. I'm sorry. Yep. Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah. So speaking about that, Kevin, when you buying the chef, you see the big deal today?
I was really hoping it would go down more so I could buy it.
Okay. What's a buy target for you? 15, 14? What do you want?
No, it was more than that. And I don't understand why, but I just can't get anything to load right now. It's very frustrating. I don't understand how I'm live streaming, but I can't even get Webull to load. If you look at the bottoms on the day chart of Tattooed Chef, the bottoms have this really nice ascending trend. And I want to say it was like 16, 18 or something I was waiting for. And it didn't drop below 17 or maybe it hit like 16.90 or something. And so it just didn't hit that line for me. And now I think it's like $18 or whatever. So I'm like, whatever. I mean, but if it was getting to that level where it's like, okay, now it's getting to that point again where it's just oversold.
Yeah, earnings are coming up, so it should be interesting to see what happens there. I tell you, the shorts are very confident it's going to go down to 16.
Yeah, Jeremy, it's quite unique with this stock consistently almost four times now. It bottoms about 16, 15 to 16, runs up to 22 to 24, bottoms down to about 16, runs up to 22, bottoms back down, runs up. It's done that four times.
Yeah. It so just it's consolidated to that upside.
$24 mark.
Wait.
Another four more times and it's going to break out, guys. You just wait, man. You just wait. Four more times.
It's going to be the one time that I would sell at 22, expecting it to drop back down and load up on more, that it's going to shoot up.
Pull a jack.
So maybe I take one for the team and I could sell at like 23 and then all of you guys can make money.
Have you guys seen that meme, Jeremy? The one where all of us are in the pool and then it's like Bitcoin and then you're like...
Yeah, that was phenomenal. Yeah, I think you sent it and then Graham posted it. That was amazing. So and Andre, so you asked me, why am I not buying Bitcoin? Andre, why are you not buying Tattooed Chef stock?
What's going on? I was thinking about it. I was like, you know what? If I could catch that 16, it might be...
Everybody wants the 16. not a penny more. I will buy the 16, but not a penny more. and then, so Kevin, let's say hypothetically you bought it. Where are you selling? Are you selling at 20? Is it something a chart pattern you look at? Like, what would you think there if you did buy it?
I mean, look, it depends how long it would take to move. You know, like I don't know who was it, but earlier one of y'all mentioned if something, I think it was you, Graham, that something's going to double in a month or two. Like if it ran to like $30, yeah, I'd be out of there like a hot potato. You know? So, but in a short period of time. But look, it's not something that I would go in like. It would be a short-term trade, probably. Like 90% certain it would be a shorter-term thing.
Yeah. They're doing ingenious deals. I don't know if you guys get to see the deals they did. They bought a company today for 18 mil. And essentially, this was an ingenious deal because they get the employee force is already there. They get 47,000 square feet, 37 employees, all the machinery already ready so they can start making nutritional bars and a lot of different snack items they want to get into. But imagine if they had waited – and they wanted to build their own factory and get all their own machines and get their employee force. Like that would take, it would be a year and a half before you'd get all that up and running, right? Or you can pay a dime on the dollar and, you know, do a deal like that. So anyways, that's fundamental talk. We're not really here to talk fundamentals. So Sheeb, is Sheeb hitting a penny, guys, or what's going on here?
Andre, what do you think, Kevin?
I can't speak about it because I don't know much about it in the first place, but I'm curious to see what you guys think.
I've been getting a lot of folks ask me about that Robinhood integration. So I do wonder how much is playing off that catalyst. So I suppose we'll see.
So you know, I
if
guess
that catalyst comes and goes. Here's and a good it's way still trending it. Up. That's going to be great.
Here's a good way of putting it. So all of us gamble to some degree with our money with investing, right? Like to some degree, we like Graham has Shiba Inu, Jeremy has TTCF. You know, we all have our gambles. But for me in crypto, I have what I consider like my utmost gamble, which is OMI. You know, that's my gamble that I don't necessarily think it's like a YOLO gamble. I think the utility behind it is incredible. So I don't want to pump it here, but if you guys don't know it, look into it. It's a fascinating project. It's the best application of NFTs I have ever seen.
How? And isn't this the same thing you're talking about with 2017? All these things disappear because people are talking about how great the system is.
Yes, absolutely. But not really. I'm not buying it based on like some fundamental blockchain thing about it. It's a token. So, which it's moving to Ethereum, and it's so cool. Their business model is licensing off of extremely huge brands like Marvel, for example. They do like Cartoon Network. They do a bunch of licenses that they buy out, and then they issue NFT characters around them. So they have Spider-Man, they have Powerpuff Girls, they have Batman. Like they have insanely cool stuff. And I kid you not. So I've had this app for like, I don't know, 4 or 5 months now, and I haven't really used it much. When I first downloaded it, it wasn't doing anything. It wasn't running. I got back into it like last month, and they do drops, I want to say a couple times a month. Like they'll drop a new series of figurines at different rarities. They have like common, uncommon, ultra rare, secret rare. And they issue, they create, I want to say like anywhere between, you know, like 5,000 editions to 30,000 editions for the drops. And I kid you not, I'm not exaggerating this. Their commons, like the 30,000 figurines of Spider-Man or whatever. You log on to the app, it drops at 8 p.m., 8 a.m. Pacific, and it sells out in less than a second, every single tier of these NFTs. That's because they have a couple hundred thousand users on their app, and you have to be so fast, your internet has to be insanely fast. It's almost impossible to get. But the coolest part about it is the application itself and like the way it's used. Like it's addicting. So if you have an addictive personality, do not download, do not use this. Cause like I have been going.
What's it called?
It's called Veeve, V-E-V-E.
Kevin's like, give me it. I want it, man. I want to be on that app.
I'm overdue for an update on that. I'm overdue on an update on that. But like they have such cool characters. Come on, focus. My face. There we go. They have like, you know, Powerpuff Girls and let's see, what do they have? Oh, they have such cool stuff, man. They have the 007 poster, movie posters. Basically all this, they have Star Trek. They have the Loki and alligator form. It's so cool. And they're not integrated in OpenSea just yet. And they're not listed on any major exchanges. So like the Catalyst.
Are they coming?
They're coming, yeah, yeah. So just full disclosure, I bought $150,000 worth of this stuff like when they first launched from like a private investor. And it was like I bought it on the rumor that Logan Paul was going to do a video about it. And I was like, oh, this thing's going to pump, right? And I got so excited. I did some research behind it and it didn't pump. It just like dumped after that. It pumped temporarily and then it dumped substantially. I went from $150 down to like $40,000. I was like, well, I'm not going to sell this thing. I'm going to learn more about it if it's legit. And I dove deep into it and I didn't get back into it until like a month ago. And it's insane the kind of growth they've had. It's so cool. But anyway, that's not like technology. It's not competing on any like complicated buzzword tech stuff. It's just a really cool application of licensing and creating these like figurines and like collectibles in the NFT market.
Are you making money now?
It's almost back up to where I bought. I'm seeing.
Nice. So that's the OMI coin. OMI?
Yes.
Going all in.
Yeah. So yeah, one of the craziest NFTs that I've been trying to buy is like Spider-Man. Rumor is it'll be the first NFT to hit a not the first NFT, but on their platform to hit $1 million. It's a Spider-Man figurine. It's a secret rare. I want to say it's like 15 grand right now.
I heard about that, Andre.
Yeah. And when it came, by the way, when these come out, they're not like flipping them for thousands of dollars. They're coming out at retail prices, like $50, $100. And they immediately get listed as soon as they get bought out. And it's impossible to land one. Like if you get one, it's the coolest feeling. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe I got it. Because I kid you not, they sell out in sub-second, like less than a second. Yeah.
Wow. So
I haven't really talked first. What's up?
It's like trying to get first on one of Graham's videos.
Yeah. You need fiber. You need fiber at an internet connection. Otherwise, you're not getting it. Like, I can't get
it. I used to try to compete, man. It is ruthless.
I remember you doing that. You would always get like third, second. I think there were a few times you got first, though.
Yeah, I'd have to stand like right next to the router. It had to be on my phone because the phone, the subscription tab would show it before anything else.
Yep.
And you just like keep refreshing it.
You know what? There was one subscriber like 3 years ago who'd always get first every single video. And I was like, how do you get first? He has his email set up and he realized that the email sent first before the notification would go out. So he'd sit there with the email, click the email link, and then get through to the video within like a second.
Wow. Interesting.
You know who's like my number one commenter lately from like most of my videos? Graham Fan.
Yes. I know. Yeah. Graham Fan. I see Graham Fan in the chat. We actually, Graham Fan sent, well, you can't see it now, but he sent the Bankroll Coffee sticker.
On the back. Is that just like your other account, your alt account?
I wish I wouldn't have that much time to comment on everything, but he's first on like almost everything besides DGB, who's also I see in the chat.
Yeah. That's crazy. But yeah, look into Omi. It's a high risk, high reward kind of thing, which I haven't talked about much yet, but I think it's gonna be awesome.
So Kevin, have you explored the Voyager app yet?
Yeah, I was actually just punching around through it and I tried signing up, but then it signed me up under my email.co and I don't have a .co. So now I got to make a new email. And so. Anyway.
Yeah, because that stock's been killed, man. It's $9 a share. And listen to this, Kevin. Expected to do $1+ EPS next year. That it's a $9 stock, right? And they're supposed to have 200% revenue growth, which puts them at a forward P of under 9. And puts them at, like, you just don't ever see that ever. So unless crypto,
where are you getting their financials? Because I tried getting them from the SEC, I couldn't get them. I tried getting them on their website, I couldn't get them. Like, where are you getting them?
Getting what?
Their financials.
Oh, you don't need the financials. You just listen to Steve. Steve tells a good story. Steve's watching this, man. I feel like we're roasting them a little bit tonight.
You're right, man. We don't talk about fundamentals on this show.
Steve, maybe we need to get you on here, man. Sorry for all this roasting tonight, but anywho, so let's see, we got a few minutes left. Graham, what are you buying right now? Don't give us something boring, give us something exciting, Graham.
I'm afraid to say, but you know, I'm just gonna say it. I bought some Robinhood, and then I bought some After Hours too.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, I caught some of the falling knife at like 30, I think it was like 3680, something like that. So we'll see. Listen, I'm just going to hold on to this. I think a year from now it's going to be higher. Maybe I'm wrong, but you know what? I'm hedged in so many other. Basically, what I made today on Enphase kind of offset the loss on Robinhood. It's the same thing. So I'm not that worried about it. I'm just going
to. I actually said the same thing to myself.
Are you serious?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's exact same.
Well, because I almost have, actually now I probably do, I almost have $2 million in Enphase.
In Enphase. So
it's a great company.
Yeah,
man.
So Tesla, funny enough, Kevin and I were talking in person, and I was asking him about his thoughts on Enphase and what he thinks his price target is going to be by the end of the year, or by within the next year, year and a half or two. And he was saying about 300, give or take. And so when it dipped to, I think it was 155, I bought a big chunk of Enphase. And that was the first time that I had bought Enphase in probably almost a year since it was like $70. So thankfully that's doing well. I just wish I had bought more of it. But, you know, hindsight is 2020. But
that's how it works.
Besides that, I bought more Bitcoin and Ethereum today.
Nice.
That was it. Is there anything else? I think that was it.
I'm okay. Two... 2,023,000 of end phase right now with the new after hours price, according to this stupid spreadsheet, because I have to do it all manually. Wow.
That's crazy. One of Kevin's stock positions is like almost my entire like net worth invested.
Oh.
That's Kevin, you got a big one. That's huge.
Yeah, that's huge.
Well, I mean, that's what Lauren told me.
Yeah. That was years ago, though.
You guys like Robinhood better or SoFi? I feel like SoFi is maybe a good play.
Well, at these prices, Robinhood.
Oh, okay.
Kevin, I just want you to know, although, there's no SEC filings, you can listen to the earnings calls of Voyager right on the Hungry Bull app, okay? So if you download the Hungry Bull, Kevin, right here, baby, you could do that on live stream and just, destroy
it. I'll try right now because I actually do have – can you get transcripts on that, okay? I'm a reader. Can you get transcripts?
The guy that makes 6 videos a day, you're a reader? Oh, man, Kevin.
Dude. No. I'm still the guy who orders the newspaper.
That's true. That is accurate.
You know what, Jeremy? Kevin just wants to steal the ideas in the Hungry Bowl so he can make a video about it right afterwards.
Wow. So Andre's now going to read off our closing thing.
What is our closing thing?
So basically, the purpose of the whole Motley Fool isn't necessarily just to see who wins, which Kevin – congratulations on that. That was very, very lucky of you. You gambled and you were right. But anyway, we gave our stock picks to the Motley Fool to not only show off our skills, but also help you get to know the Motley Fool as well. And really and service the stock advisor.
Yes, and I feel really happy that I'm on the podium, which is awesome.
Sorry, Jeremy. Yeah. I'm thrilled about my negative 5% return 1 month. It's impressive.
But yeah. But anyway, guys.
It's not easy to get negative 5% in a month. Okay. I had to try hard for that.
Yeah, Jeremy, at this rate, we could be down 60% in a year. So
It's impressive. It's impressive.
But anyway, guys, the Motley Fool Stock Advisor right now is doing incredibly well. The S&P 500 is up about 140% within the last few years. But the Motley Fool's is up 600%. So if you put $100,000 in the stock market, the S&P would be up about 240. But the Stock Advisor would be up about 700,000, which is crazy. Funny enough, I actually did a full-on analysis on this about a month ago. And we analyzed the returns of the Motley Fool beginning back to, when was it? I think it was like 2013. It was a while ago. The stock recommendations have actually done pretty well. I was impressed. And I went in thinking, it could be like the Jim Cramer where basically you could mention a stock and it goes up. But there's actually ended up doing consistently well. And they send you 2 new recommendations every single month. So if you want any ideas of just different stocks to research, that's what I use them for. I don't necessarily follow exactly what they do, but I like hearing a different opinion. So that is what I feel their strength is. And they started almost 20 years ago. So if you're interested, go to fool.com/MMChallenge. The link is down below in the description. See who's winning, and you can check out their stock advisor as well.
Yeah, it's cool. Definitely. And then watch Jeremy get negative 5%.
and just short me every month, a guaranteed 5%.
Do the 5%. Opposite of what Jeremy's doing. If he says buy, you sell. If he says sell, you buy. And then you'd be up.
That's easy 5% a month, man. Or what you could do, you could just go with Kevin and get 24% a month. Now we're talking.
But be careful that Kevin, he's a flip-flopper.
Oh, God. Jeremy, you know what you should get Kevin for the holidays? Get him a pair of flip-flops.
Oh. You guys are just – you know what? I think you guys are disrespectful. This is one of the top swing traders in the history of the stock market, and you're disrespecting him. Look at his hair. It's beautiful.
Well, it's the same color as his portfolio.
Yeah.
Jeremy, you could dye your hair red.
I could and I should and Jeremy, you have a negative 5% right here.
Jeremy, you know what would be funny? We should all make bets, and if we lose the bet, we each have to dye our hair a different color.
I'll do it gladly if we give us ourselves at least 1 year. We should take our stocks, give it until this time next year, and whoever loses shaves their
head. Funny enough, the Motley Fool challenge runs for an entire year. It's not meant just to be something over a month. This is meant to be an entire year. Yeah. So technically, even though Kevin is winning right now, the challenge ends in September of 2022.
Yeah, and for all my football fans out there, which I know these three guys aren't, this is like the Falcons and the Patriots in the Super Bowl a few years ago. I'm the Patriots. Kevin's the Falcons. We're going to see what happens. I'm a Tom Brady this man, okay? Let's just wait on it. None of these guys get that reference, but that's okay.
I know a Tom Brady. I've heard that name before. I know Tom Brady's famous. Is he a hockey player?
Andre has heard of Tom Brady before. That's something.
Tom Brady, by the way, just signed a deal with Hertz to pitch Hertz's acquisition of 100,000 Teslas to get people to rent cars from Hertz.
And so Kevin knows Tom Brady because he reads his newspaper, his physical newspaper, and so he heard of him in a sponsorship with Hertz. Very important. Yeah. And Graham just learned who Tom Brady is. So let's end it there, Graham, with you.
Thank you guys so much for watching. Make sure to destroy the like button. Make sure to subscribe if you're watching this right now. It's so easy. All you got to do is click the little subscribe button. It's totally free. We go live once every single week. You get to hear us argue about who's right and who's wrong. Crypto, Bitcoin, Tesla, Shiba, you name it. Whatever's the most pressing topic of the week, we talk about it here. So subscribe. Hit the like button. Use the link down below in the description. Enjoy. Thank you so much for watching. And until next time.
Peace.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.